Grace to you and peace from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of all the movies and the books that I've read over the years, one of my all-time favorites is still The Lord of the Rings. Now, if I were to ask you to list off characters of The Lord of the Rings, I'm sure many of you would think of Frodo Baggins, the Hobbit, the halfling, if you will, very short, hairy feet, by the way, the book says. You might think of Gandalf the great wizard that is mentioned throughout the book series, that becomes one of the key leading figures that everybody seems to know. Maybe you would list off one of the other hobbits, but if you took a list and you would be going down, eventually you would probably get to Aragorn. Not exactly the fan favorite, not exactly the one that everybody goes nuts over, but still important, still significant, plays a pretty big role. He's first met at a bar, sitting by himself in a corner where the darkness covers his face. And that's kind of his persona throughout most of the books, throughout most of the movie. Aragorn, the one who seems to be hidden, the one who goes and acts and is basically a loner and in isolation. And so it's rather surprising, and yes, I'm giving you spoilers, but quite frankly, that movie is, what, 15 years old now? So I'm giving you spoilers, I'm sorry. But Aragorn is king. He is the king, the longed-for, awaited king. But he doesn't act like it. And quite frankly, even when it's pointed out throughout the books, throughout the movie, it's almost universally thrown out. He doesn't look king-like. He doesn't have the nice flowing robes. He doesn't have all the servants all around him. He doesn't have all the beauty and grandeur. He's in a bar. He's alone and he's isolated. And he carries a sword. Not very king-like. They have a hard time accepting that Aragorn is king because he doesn't quite fit what everybody perceives as a king. And in fact, that's like why it's one of the big reveals toward the end of the movies, because you don't see it coming. He doesn't seem like the king. But there he is. It's through his blood. It's through his family. It is simply who he is, and he can be no other. It's the reality. As hard as it is to accept, as hard as it is to understand, it doesn't matter. He is the true king. Whenever we read through the Gospels, we see a lot of similarities to that character, and in fact, Tolkien probably designed the character on purpose from reading the Gospels. Jesus is the true king, but he doesn't always look the part. Jesus is the true king, the Messiah, the one that was to come, but a lot of the Jews of the day had been reading. They read through the Scriptures. They knew what all the prophecies said, and they expected the Messiah to look a certain way, to be a certain way, to act a certain way. But Jesus doesn't. He fulfills all the prophecies, but in a way that is very different than the way the people at the time thought. But Jesus is the true Messiah, the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is it. And yet, some of his teachings were hard. They were challenging. They were the kind of teachings that were almost off-putting to those that were around Jesus. And we see that again today. We've read this text, we've been reading through this text for the last couple weeks from John chapter 6, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. But even more, he talks about how people must eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. And all of a sudden, we see all the people start to wander away. This is hard. This is challenging. Some of them, as they leave, say, how can anyone accept this? And as much as it might be hard for us to understand the people of old sometimes when we read through scriptures, I don't think we have that hard of a time understanding this particular one. In fact, this debate at times comes up again, even to this day. How often do we find ourselves talking through and even talking about Holy Communion? About how Jesus Christ is truly present in, with, and under the bread. His true body, his true blood. And yet there are those that simply cannot accept it. Or maybe some of the other teachings that we find throughout the Gospels, that we find throughout Scripture. Culturally speaking, some of them are no longer popular. And a lot of people look at the church and they say, I don't know if I can do that. Or maybe even the biggest one. I know it's not always seen as the biggest one, but truly it is. Grace. That Jesus Christ can so freely forgive. That we can so freely be forgiven and reconciled with our Heavenly Father because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and for our salvation. On the one hand, it seems like a great thing, and it certainly is, but on the other hand, it seems almost too good to be true, and that's not how the real world works. In the real world, you have to work and work and work, and then maybe you gain something. And yet our Heavenly Father sent His only Son so freely for us. There was a cost to our salvation, but it was a cost that we didn't have to pay. And so we receive it. And we receive it freely. Certainly, it is a hard teaching. It seems so nice, and yet it is so hard for others to accept such a thing. It's so hard for others to understand such a thing. And yet we know that it is true. We know that it is God's word. We know that it is what Christ did for us, for you and for me. But even Jesus says at the end of our gospel lesson today that even this, even our faith is a gift of His Father. Even our faith is a gift of the very work of the Holy Spirit. For truly this is a hard teaching. And the very words of Christ are hard teachings, so hard and difficult that no one would believe outside of the very work of the Holy Spirit. It is through the work of the Spirit that we are gathered here today. It is through the work of the Spirit that we have been given faith. It is through the work of the Spirit that we receive the very grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That you know that Jesus Christ died for you. That He rose again on the third day, and that your salvation is secure in Him. It's good news. It's great news. But it's still hard to accept sometimes. It's hard to understand sometimes. Sometimes when we'll self-reflect and think about all the things that we've done, it might be hard to accept the fact that Jesus Christ forgave, yes, even that. Whatever it is that you're holding on in the back of your mind, whatever it is, whatever sin that happens to be, that you think there's no way I could ever be forgiven of that, yes, that. Jesus Christ went to the cross even for that one. Your sins are forgiven through Christ Jesus our Lord. A hard teaching, a hard reality, but a true one all the same. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, please stand as